I just thank you right now for Sarah, God. I thank you, Lord, for the word, God, that is in her belly, Father God. I thank you, God, that it was going to come up and bubble out in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, God, just for your power and authority resting on her right now in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, God, that you are lifted up, God, that she's going to speak every word, God, that you have given her, God. And I thank you, God, for the prophetic that is flowing in and through her, Father God. And I just thank you, God, for just having your way through this word, Lord. We thank you for Sarah, God. We thank you for her sacrifice, and we thank you for her willingness to release this word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I love you. Well, I want Becky to come up here. So this is, we talk about our pastors back in Mooresville, Byron and Becky, and this is Becky. She was here. Come here.
Okay. Alrighty.
She was here today, so I asked her, because I love when they're here for them to be able to share anything that's on their heart so that we can just, you know, be in community with each other.
Oh, it's great.
It's good to be here today. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
I love get to come. My grandsons have piano recitals today at 2, so Byron stayed home to preach. So there were two things I felt like the Lord. It was actually, one of them came when Andy Squires preached here a few weeks ago. I listened to his message. It was really, really good. And I woke up in the morning and I heard the Lord say very specifically, and this is a scripture that we actually have lived off of, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. And we've always concentrated on the river. And when I woke up, this was actually as I was waking up, the Lord said to me, there is a river whose streams, he highlighted streams, makes glad the city of our God. And I believe what he was saying is that he said, you have underestimated the streams of the river. And that's exactly what he said to me, that these streams are my people. And when we go out and do what we're hearing about this morning, all the testimonies of all that the people of God are going out from the river.
Yeah.
We're going out from the river.
Yes.
And those streams make glad the city of God.
Yes.
So I love that, you know, and I just want to just tell you that it makes God happy when we flow out of the river.
It does.
And the second thing I think is so important that actually relates is the Lord has been speaking to me about encounters. Mm-hmm. And I know that word is thrown out a lot in the recent years. But here's what he was reminding me of all the encounters that I've had as I look back. And one started when I was 9 years old and found my way into a storefront Pentecostal church, this little Baptist girl. And there was a woman preaching with a beehive hairdo, okay? And all I know is that she was preaching till smoke filled up in the room. And I reckon, and then the Holy Ghost fell on me as a 9-year-old, okay? And I responded to an altar call that day, and I was never the same again. And so he had me to go back through many times where I have had encounters.
Yes.
I sat down, and I shared this in a prayer meeting, because someone else started sharing about their encounter.
Yeah.
And I felt like the Lord was saying, we need to go back and remember our encounters with God.
Yes.
That's good.
Be reminded of those things that we got up from there. We were never the same again.
Yeah.
But it's just not that. There's more to come.
Yeah.
There's more to come. And that word does not need to be thrown out lightly anymore. That's God good. Really wants to encounter his people.
Amen.
For the days that we're living in now. So, amen.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you, Becky. That's so good, because I listened to this song this week that just, you know how the Lord just will catch you off guard sometimes? And I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm like, Lord, just catch me off guard every day if you want to. Like, because when his tenderness comes and his presence comes and he just speaks something, he brings to remembrance something in your life, it's like, oh, so good. He tastes so good.
Yeah.
You know, and this week I came across this song called The Building, and it was written, this lady talked, she was singing about the church. And it just, and she says, I know the stained glass never saved a soul. And she talks about the pews, you know, but she says, but it's the place where Jesus changed my life.
That's right.
And she was talking about these encounters, and she was just talking about, you know, it's where my daddy, you know, she talks about her granddad preaching, you know, and just all the things. And when I was listening to it, it was like, I just was remembering all the encounters with the Lord. And I realized, I love the church. I love the church. And I told Matthew, it makes me a little defensive when people want to just throw out the church. Like, we're all the church. I get it. Yes, you're right. We are all the church. And I told Matthew, I was like, you know, it's like when we have our homes that we love the memories of what has happened in those homes. Now, is there dysfunctional homes where people don't want to? Yes, there is dysfunction. And there are moments you don't want to remember. But we don't throw out home and family because there is dysfunction. We choose to say, God, I want to be a part of a demonstration of your family on the earth. Because this was not my idea. This was your idea. You know? And I'm not preaching about the church today, but I'm telling you, this week, it kind of stirred me up. It's like, Lord, you know, it is so true. This is the building where Jesus changed my life. Changed my life. And we need the church now more than ever. More than ever. And we need a place that we can gather and encourage one another, where we can create space for God to encounter people, that people can come in wherever they are. She was talking about that in the song. She's talking about when the song Just As I Am comes, on. And I'm just thinking, we all want to remember the hymns, the things where God said, come, just as you are, wherever you are, come and let me encounter you with your love. And it was just one of those moments where I was like, man, Lord, I love your church. I love your church. I'm so thankful for your church. I'm so thankful that we have not forsaken gathering together, that we've not thrown it all out because of the dysfunction that can happen.
That's right.
We haven't thrown it out.
That's right.
Haven't said, well, it's dysfunctional. Let's just forget it all. Let's don't do that. Let's say, God, this is a part of your heart. And we want to be a part of your kingdom displayed on earth. We want to be a part of a church that is going to be for the generations. Because I have a heart for the generations. We want to have that vision, 100-year vision, way past when we're gone, that there's something alive and breathing, which is his church functioning on this earth. So I love when Becky shares, and when last week when Mary and Ryan came and they shared about the church plant that's going to happen in Wilmington, and we're super excited about that. And she was able to share a moment of when she and I were little kids and we were playing church, you know, out at her grandfather's place where we were, you know, he was a huge part of a Jesus movement. Her grandfather was Harry Bazell. And, you know, then after that, then we're just over hanging out at his house out in one of the outer buildings that they have, just hanging out, playing church at like 8 or 9 years old. We had no idea what God had in store for our lives. We were just being kids. But yet God was doing something inside of us. And I pray, Lord, you're not done.
That's right.
You've got generations upon generations upon generations. Let us be one generation proclaiming to the next that God's good. Let us prophesy, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? And let us go forth. So it's exciting. And it's good to remember remember all God's done in your life. It's just so good. So Matthew had asked me to preach and to share some of it's the beginning of this is really going to be prophetic words that the Lord gave me. It's really cool. It's awesome when God brings, you know, when sometimes you get a word and it's like you put it on the shelf because you don't really see it coming forth. But you're looking for the signs in the heavens to line up with the wonders on earth.
That's right, yeah.
Right? You're looking for that lining up, that moment that the Lord's saying, okay, now's the time.
Yeah.
Right? So what happened was Matthew and I went at, it was like January 1st or 2nd.
First.
Yeah, the very first of the year. We just happened to get this slot of time where we realized we can go away for a couple nights by ourselves and just we really needed to get a hold of the Lord. And I love that. I love when you just feel this thing from the Lord, like this invitation when the Lord's saying, just come away. Mm-hmm. Just come away.
Yeah.
And so we actually went to Wilmington. It's funny. I was trying to look for different places for us just to find a cheap place to stay. And Wilmington ended up being where we stayed, right on the beach. And it's funny that you said dream with us this morning because honestly, I went there not wanting to think about a thing. I didn't want to talk about church. I didn't want to talk about nothing. I just wanted to go rest. And I was like, Lord, I'll get a hold of you personally, but let's just like, Matthew, I'm not talking about church. You know, like we're just going to go and just really I had no agenda. I had like, let's just do nothing. Did y'all ever feel that way? Like you're just, your mind, your heart is just kind of like, and so I got to the beach and I got up one morning though, and I went into the bathroom and I saw this sign on the, and I love birds. I just love the sound of birds. I love to watch birds. I will definitely probably be one of those old ladies watching birds. I will definitely get into it. But I love birds. So the sign in the bathroom had a bird on it, so that caught my attention. And then across it said dream. And I was like, whoa, okay, Lord. Because it just felt like one of those things where from the Lord. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm giving you permission to awaken dreams, you know. Mm-hmm. And so then I walked out to the back door. And I looked out and I just was standing there looking at the sunrise and I saw one rabbit. I was like, oh, cute. Isn't that cute? Wow. A rabbit at the beach. Then I saw another rabbit and then I saw another rabbit and there were five rabbits playing on the yard right there. And it kind of caught my attention. I was like, there's five rabbits right there all together. And I just didn't want to move. You know, it's like, don't move because you might scare them all off. But I just was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, are you trying to speak something to me? And he brought to remembrance three words that I've had that are about rabbits. So I want to share that with you guys because I felt like it was one of those moments. We were in Wilmington. You know, Mary and Ryan had said to us on the way down there, well, pray and see if you get anything. And I thought, I'm trying not to get anything, but I'm just trying to go down there and be quiet for a minute. And it was funny that we were in Wilmington, and what had happened was, that just reminded me of my brother. He used to say, see, what it was, my older brother would say that, what it was, anyways, in 2016, Paula Ulrich, who some of you may know her, she's the woman, she leads the women's ministry back in Mooresville. Paula Stark. And she does all the women's retreat organization and stuff like that. Well, in 2016, she came up to me and said, hey, I had a dream about you last night. I just happened to end up, was there in Mooresville that Sunday. And she said, in the dream, so I looked it up because I knew I had it on my phone and I printed it out. Right? And these up here are a bunch of rabbits. Right? And she had sent this with this picture of these rabbits. She was trying to show me what the, in the dream, it said, I had this robe on that had these rabbits, okay, and it was this colorful robe, and I just want to read the dream for a minute. It reminded me of Joseph's Technicolor dream coat, is what she said. There was another woman. The wild thing is that Becky was in the dream, too, so it's wild that you're here today, too. Yeah. There was another woman wearing a similar one as well that was given a similar coat. I felt we knew her, and I felt it was Becky representing River Life Mooresville. The difference between the coats was yours was white and had raised line drawings of rabbits, making up a continuous horizontal ribbon that was reversed to make the next horizontal ribbon pattern. So it was like rabbits going this way and then rabbits going the other direction, facing the opposite direction all over the robe and the coat. Each line was the very different, bright, beautiful rainbow colors. The other woman, Becky's robe, was similarly made, but hers had feathers hanging down, layered in the same color array, which is really wild because Bob Jones spoke a lot in our church back in Mooresville about feathers and authority, mm-hmm. which I thought was pretty wild. The coats were stunning, light and soft, rubbery plastic. When you put your robe on, someone, and I feel like when we were declaring this morning, where it was saying, when God is for us, who can be against us? That this in the dream, I believe, was a spirit, okay? She said, when you put your robe on, someone, a woman I seem to remember, said you did not deserve to wear the coat, accusing and shaming publicly in front of everyone. At that point, you said nothing, lowered your head sadly, but offered no defense and let her have her say. Then another woman stood up and said to the contrary that your humbleness and submission was exactly what made you worthy of the robe and the coat and all it represented. And so, but the Lord, I really felt like in what I'm going to read today, so I feel like there's an invitation in this, because when she was sharing it to me, another lady, Jackie Rummage, who's very prophetic, walked up, but she also has lived around farm animals, right? She said, and Paula said, I don't know what rabbits represent. And Jackie was like, oh, I do. Multiplication. Yeah. They multiply and they multiply fast.
Yeah.
You know, and so I took that word then at that time. That was 2016. I didn't really know what to do with it other than, okay, Lord, you're going to bring forth multiplication, you know. And so, but I just set that on the shelf, right? Well, then in 2017, so all this is coming together when I had this at the beginning of the year. In 2017, we were at a women's retreat. And after the women's retreat, there were these three ladies from Catch the Fire that had come to prophesy over people. And I was listening to the voice recording. I went back to it the other day. Listened to the voice recording. So when you see people out recording when people are prophesying over them, it's a cool thing. Because then you can go back and listen to it. You know, and I was listening to it, and one person was prophesying schools and training and equipping, and that there would be this multiplying and things going out different directions and all over the country and all this stuff. And then this other girl comes up and she goes, you know, while I was praying, while you were talking, I just kept seeing this rabbit. And I thought, I am not prophesying a rabbit over her. Right? Because she didn't know anything. Right? That didn't make sense to her. So that should encourage you too. Sometimes when you're prophesying, when you're asking the Lord to show you something for somebody, sometimes it doesn't make sense to you.
Right.
But I encourage you to give it anyways.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because she goes, but when this other girl started sharing, she said it started to make sense. She said, I started seeing multiplication and multiplication fast. The exact same thing she said. And she said, and I started seeing this training and equipping and releasing that was going to go forth. And I see a school, and I see this just training and equipping. And I see, you know, like rabbits, they burrow. And they have these burrows that are interconnected. And she was saying, and don't worry that in Chapel Hill, that church is a fountainhead church. That's what she was saying. It's a fountainhead church, and you will see people coming and going. She said, don't worry, because you'll have your people that are staying there. But you will also have people that will come in, be equipped, trained, and be sent out. And she said, this is what God has for you, you know. So I was listening to that again, you know, now, and I'm like, wow, because we started a school, River Life School of Ministry, this fall, just started. And the whole purpose was that the Lord was going to use that to train and equip and release people into ministry, in church planting and just in ministry all around. And so then I realized that I also had had a dream, and I looked it up. Y'all just stay with me, because this is just really cool. December 2017, so the women's retreat was back in the fall. Then December, I had a dream where a company came to me in my dream and said, we are ready to hire you for burrowing our clients. Wow. That's all they said in the dream. We're ready to hire you to burrow our clients. And I woke up thinking, burrow? Like, I wasn't connecting. All I knew was burrowing was really loud in my dream. And so I kept thinking, burrowing. Oh, that's weird. And then I was like, oh, I think rabbits burrow. I mean, I'm serious. Like, I'm not connecting these things. Like, and so I start to look it up. And you know, still cool, but I'm not connecting. In 2017, I'm not connecting with it. I'm like, this is great, Lord, but you're going to have to do it, because I do not know what you're talking about. So then when this happened in January, I came home from there, and you know how George Washington Carver, and that the one with the peanut?
Yeah.
Said if you love something enough, it will reveal its mysteries, right? So I was saying, okay, Lord, you've got some mysteries that you are wanting to reveal, and I want to know about them, so I'm going to study rabbits. That's what I decided. I'm going to study rabbits. And I was at home one morning studying the rabbits and studying how they burrow. And a lot of times it's for when they're birthing, they go and they want to have a safe place, right? So they can birth. And then there's the interconnected between the burrows where they can go safely in between, right? So I'm studying these burrows, and my mom and dad at that time had COVID. So I called my mom and dad. I called dad. He answers the phone. And I'm like, just talking to him about, hey, do y'all need anything? Do you need me to go pick something up? Blah, blah, blah. This is welcome to my dad. This is how randomly prophetic he is. So I'm talking to him, and he's like, yeah, I need you to go pick up this letter so that it's an approval for me to be out these many days from work. And can you pick this up at these prescriptions up? I'm like, yeah, I can get those. And he goes, you just rescued us at a clutching moment. And I thought, okay, well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I love you, and I was just calling to check on you and see how you were doing. He goes, you know, like when the eagle, I think it was, just he swoops in and he comes in and clutches the rabbits. But you just rescued us two old rabbits from the clutching moment. I thought, and I said, did you just call yourselves two old rabbits? And he was like, yeah, why? And I was like, because I've been studying rabbits all morning. He was like, you're kidding me. I was like, no. I've been studying rabbits all morning, and you just say, I rescued you at a clutching moment, you two old rabbits. And I was just like, Lord, you are wild. You're wild. You're so good. You're so fun. He's so adventurous. He takes us on these wonderful adventures of revealing the mysteries. Right. You know, he's not one of those people that hides the Easter egg, little tiny Easter eggs when you have children, and he goes and he buries them. It says, go find the Easter eggs. He's like that parent that's out there. I remember one year my mom, when our kids were toddlers, got Easter eggs that were like this big and put them out. And put them out for them to find them. Because it was like, she did not want to make it hard at all. Like, just go find, like, yeah, they're not going to find those eggs. Those big old eggs out there. But that's God our Father.
Yes.
He leads, he wants us to discover the mysteries. He wants us to discover what he's doing, what he's speaking, what he's saying for now, so that we can join in partnership with him. So when my dad said that, I was like, okay, God, I hear you. Yes, I hear you. You are wanting to bring forth multiplication. Yeah. You're wanting to bring forth a place where we cultivate places where people can encounter the Lord, where we cultivate spaces where people can gain who they really are in the Lord, where they can gain strategies for their marriages, strategies for their families, strategies for their jobs. They can be the ones who discover the mysteries of whatever it is that you're wanting to release and release the kingdom into those places. I love that it's like God has made each one of us uniquely the way we are. And if you're not hearing God, maybe just start with saying, okay, Lord, who do you say I am? Where have you placed me? What lane am I supposed to be in? If I'm in the wrong lane, then let me get back into the right lane of what you've called me, purposed me for. And then ask the Lord, okay, Lord, speak to me. Maybe he's not speaking to you about something else because that was for somebody else.
Yeah.
It's not for you. You're over here trying to be something else that you're not. When if you would just get back in to being in realignment with who God's created you to be, then all of a sudden you're just like the windows of heaven. Wow, Lord, you are speaking. It's just you weren't speaking to me about this over here because I saw it on Instagram and I saw that this girl was really good at it. And so I thought, well, it's working for her. Why don't I try it for me? And then I got over here and was trying to be something. And then all of a sudden I'm like, God, why are you not speaking? Well, because I've never called you to that, Sarah. Right. But if you'll get over here in the lane that I've called you to, and all of a sudden you're going to realize, God, you are speaking. You want to teach me about some rabbits.
Get to the burrow.
You want to teach me about burrowing. You want to teach me about the church. Because, man, the church is my passion. It is what I've been called to do.
Right.
And so that's a really awesome thing. So how do we respond to the Lord? Because I really feel like this is a word for our church. Like I feel like the dream was our churches. It was the River Life Mooresville Church, the River Life Chapel Hill Church. I believe this is a call for us. And I believe that the Lord, it's the moment. It's a time. You know, there's prophecies and things that the Lord uses prophetic voices to release prophecies. And there's also a timing that comes when the Lord says, okay, now's the time. You know, that you get to reap that. And I believe one of the things I was studying was January to September is a critical time for rabbits and multiplication and their birthing process. And I felt like the Lord said, January to September, just watch me work. You know, just watch what I'm doing. So what I'm inviting you guys into is to say, is to respond to the Lord. Because I believe this is something for us corporately. We can all get into this. And, you know, rabbits multiply and it's easy. They don't have problems. And I believe that about this right now is that this is, we're going to hit the easy button because it's going to be by grace.
Yeah.
By his grace. So how do we respond? Okay. Number one is surrender to the Holy Spirit. Because this is not in our own efforts that we're going to bring this forth. We're going to bring forth what God's wanting to do. It's surrendering to the Holy Spirit and allowing his fruit to be made manifest in our lives by his grace. So we give him our yes. I believe the Lord first wants to multiply the fruits of the Spirit in and through us by his grace. So in 1 Peter was where I felt like the Lord, this was really good. This is really good. So 1 Peter, actually, if you have that in the Passion Translation, I'm just going to go ahead and start there instead of doing the New King James Version. From Peter, an apostle of Jesus, the anointed one, to the chosen ones who have been scattered like seed into the nations, living as refugees in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and throughout the Roman provinces of Asia and, yeah, that word. Is that on here?
Bithynia.
Yeah, there we go. You are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ who have been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over. You know what that also means? Or be multiplied to you.
Yeah.
Okay? Let his grace and his peace be multiplied to you. So just let that sink in. Let his grace and his peace be multiplied to you. The thing I love about this verse too is that it has the whole Trinity in it, right? Okay, Father God, we're chosen by the Father, right? We're set apart by the Holy Spirit and submitted to Christ. So we're chosen by the Father, set apart by the Holy Spirit, and submitted to Jesus. So when I say let's surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let's let him set us apart. We've been chosen. You have been chosen by the Father. He wants to set you apart. And he also wants to be Lord of your life.
Yeah.
That we would once again make Jesus our Lord. That we would be, Matthew, you can adjust the temperature. It's fine. I asked Matthew to turn it down because I was hot. So I'm sorry if people are freezing. That's my life. I get in the presence of the Lord and I get hot. I'm like, Holy Spirit is here. I am just, yeah. So isn't that awesome? I really do feel like the Lord is saying this is our response, that we would submit to the Lord, that we would surrender to the Holy Spirit, and that he is going to birth. He is going to bring forth fruit in our lives, multiplied.
That's right.
Multiplied. More than we could even ask or imagine.
Yeah.
And as we surrender to the Holy Spirit and his grace that empowers us, not our own ability to bring forth the results. You have to resist that. When you get this awesome dream and vision from the Lord, you have to resist trying to do it in your own strength. And I felt like the Lord even cautioned me, like, Sarah, don't focus too much on the multiplication. How's that multiplication going to happen? Through intimacy with me. It's through intimacy with me that I am going to bring forth the fruit.
That's right.
I'm going to bring forth by his grace. That's the good news. That's the really good news. So the second thing, the first thing is surrender to the Holy Spirit. And the second thing is to set our eyes on Jesus. Is that through intimacy right now in this season, that we come away, that we set our focus and our attention on Jesus, not trying to produce fruit in our own, on our own. God will bring forth the multiplication by grace. His delightful grace and his peace will cascade over you many times. That's so good. It's his overcoming grace. It's his grace that is sufficient. And the fruits of the Spirit, I know y'all all know this, but I just want to remind us, okay? So Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And that's the end. So I love this because I think it's really awesome to remind ourselves, what is this that God's Holy Spirit wants to produce in us? It is the cascade of multiplication of His grace and His peace that empowers us to live a life full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so, you know, I think that this is part of cultivating a culture, okay, of honor and of what we desire to multiply, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't, I was hearing, I made Gabe and I and my kids sit down and listen to this little clip by Dave Ramsey that I found on YouTube the other day. And one of the things in the clip was he was saying, you know, I try to tell people that when they get rich, it only, whatever they are, only gets bigger. Money doesn't fix problems. Whatever they are just gets bigger. If they're depressed, they just get more depressed. If they get, you know, if they're sad, they just get, if they are generous before they ever become rich, then they become philanthropists. You know, and it's just talking about, you know, like, whatever you are just grows.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is we want God to multiply the good.
Yes.
Right? We want to be full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. By His grace. One of the things I've also thought is the thing I've learned about parenting is that if I want to see good things in my children's lives, I don't focus on that. I go ahead and let the Lord do it in here.
Wow.
In me. Because if I am fearful about things, if I've got things that are pain and wounds inside of me,
yeah,
if I don't let the Lord just go ahead and heal those, I am going to project those and just cultivate those in my children. And so I've learned in parenting, the best parenting advice is let God go after you. Let Him start with you. Let the freedom, because then you can encourage and cultivate. You cannot move out of fear. Because a lot of things that we do are motivated out of fear. Fear of, oh my gosh, what's my kid going to do? Oh my gosh, this is a, you know, maybe I don't want you to do that. That's a little scary. And do I still deal with that? Yes. But I ask the Lord, like, Lord, go after this in me. Heal this in me so that I might be able to release my children into more of all You've created them to be and not cultivate fear and or focus on things that I think they need to fix when it's like, okay, well, you know what? Why don't we let the Lord do this in here and then maybe I can encourage and champion them and encourage them in things that are good and not out of pain and fear. Does that make sense? So that's where I'm saying, Lord, let us do that in us. If we want to multiply, if we want to see God do stuff, Lord, start inside of us and allow the fruits of the Spirit in our lives to be multiplied. How do we make people feel?
Come on.
When we come in contact with people, when we're praying for them, when somebody shares something with you that's painful, do I heap shame and guilt and fear back on them? Or am I walking in a place of love and kindness and desiring that that be what they experience the most? Is the love and the kindness and the gentleness and the patience of the Father. That's what we want, is to have, when I talk about boroughs and churches and church plants and ministries and things that we're walking in, the businesses, the realms that you've been called to. We want to cultivate a culture of honor, of love, of kindness. We want that to be a safe place, because I think about burrows and I think about that people, you know, the rabbits would go there to birth because it's a safe place. And we want to be a safe place. And was it you that was singing that prophetic thing about cover healing? I can't remember all the words, but healing something and covering. And that's, we want to be a place that covers. That we aren't a place that gossips. We aren't a place that one thing I've been because Matthew and I, in this, the way we're responding to the Lord is, Lord, come detox our thoughts.
Yeah.
Detox all the things. Flush out the things that are not of you and give us your thoughts. Give us your heart for this season. And one of the things for me is, okay, Lord, I want to come in the opposite spirit of what I'm feeling sometime coming at me in relationships. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not just about how we treat people in the church. It's what we're doing throughout our daily lives, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just real. And when you have kids, they will call you on it faster than anything. If you give them permission to. I mean, respectfully. Right? Gabe. But I realize that I can be kind of feisty.
No.
Yeah. And when I come into interactions with coaches and teachers, I have to remind myself I'm a Christian. I have to remind myself I've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Especially when the mama bear comes out. And so I'm having to practice this. And Tiffany was Tiffany, before I knew that she knew Jesus and that we were going to eventually be in partnership and together in community, she was the assistant principal at my girls' school. And we had some moments. But hopefully God bless me. Right? My feisty self can come into teacher meetings. I try to take my husband because he's been a teacher. He understands teachers. I come in trying to talk to myself about that. I know that they're your children and you are the only mama that they have, but you need to just maybe lay down all your, you know, just quiet yourself a minute and listen. So I'm growing in this, and we have had some experience with this just recently in the past couple weeks, and I had to go into a conversation with a coach, and I felt like the Lord said, I want you to bless, not curse. I want you to come the opposite spirit. And so I'm not going to even tell y'all all the things, because I love that it's between me and Jesus on some things, but I'm choosing to bless. Okay, I'm choosing to come in the opposite spirit of what I felt like was coming at me and my child. And that's what I'm saying is I believe God wants to give us these gifts. And the gift may be, hey, do you want to bless and be the one that gathers the blessing for this coach? I'm like, oh, okay, yes, yes, Lord. I will be the one. I'm responding in a different thing because that's how good God is, and that's allowing Him to set us free.
Come on.
Set us free that the generations that come behind us can walk in a different spirit than like in that dream that was coming after me that was saying, who are you? What are you thinking? You know, you might as well just sit down. You have no right to be wearing that robe. When that's a spirit of intimidation, that's a spirit that wants to make you feel insignificant.
Yeah.
When the truth is, I have been made holy because he is holy. Amen. So let's get to that. Okay, that's in 1 Peter on down. So I want to read the rest of this scripture. So I don't know that I gave you this one part, but I'm going to read 1 Peter 1, 3 also. It says, celebrate with praises to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in heavenly realm for you. Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy. Oh, you did. Good job. Thank you, Channing. He's good. But these only reveal the sterling core, or that sterling core is also your proven character of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes. For even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. You love him passionately, although you have not seen him. But through believing in him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory. For you are reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, your soul's victory. Like we were singing today. So this is the next part is the part about the next thing that I feel, which has to do with an outpouring of grace, how we're going to live this out. The salvation was the focus of the prophets who prophesied of this outpouring of grace that was destined for you. They made a careful search and investigation of the meaning of their God-given prophecies. In other words, they were digging. They were explorers of these mysteries of what God had. They made a careful search. As they probed into the mysteries of who would fulfill them and the time period when it would all take place, the Spirit of the Anointed One was in them and was pointing prophetically to the sufferings that Christ was destined to suffer and the glories that would be released afterward. God revealed to the prophets that their ministry was not for their own benefit, but for yours. And now you have heard these things from the evangelists who preached the gospel to you through the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, the gospel containing wonderful mysteries that even the angels long to get a glimpse of. I love that. It's like the mysteries, the intimacy, the grace and the mercy that we have received, that we have been able to receive, even the angels long to get a glimpse of this that is our inheritance. This is really good. This grace that is multiplied to us, this mercy that God has freely given to us, is an awesome mystery that honestly we want to receive and become explorers of in the heavenly places.
Yeah.
Allowing his grace and his mercy to transform us as we surrender. His grace is going to come. His grace is how we are going to be empowered to walk this life, to see the multiplication of what God wants to do on the earth. So the third last thing is prepare your hearts and your minds for action. Okay? And that's the next part, starting in verse 13. So then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming for you. So one thing I've been learning, studying the brain and studying how our thoughts and our emotions affect our physical bodies, like actually create chemicals that are released into our bodies that affect our bodies, our thoughts and our emotions. If you study this, it's pretty fascinating. But what I was hearing from this one psychologist is she was saying, it's not every negative thought that you think that affects you. It's the ones you attach yourself to. It's the thoughts that you attach yourself to that really produce fruit in your life. Okay? So when I was reading this and I saw that it said, stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming for you. It's coming for us. He pursues us. Psalm 23, the end of it, you know, where it says that his grace and his mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Right?
Right.
His grace is coming for us. That's the easy anointing. That's the easy button, is it's all by his grace. And his grace is pursuing you right now at this very moment. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become the Holy One who to become like the Holy One who called you. For scriptures say, you are to be holy because I am holy. Everything about God is holy. Everything. Justice, mercy, truth, righteousness. Everything about him is holy. And to be holy is to be absolutely devoted to God in all that we do, demonstrating who he is to the world. Mm-hmm. We get the opportunity to demonstrate because he is holy. And listen to this. Holiness surrounds God's throne, and we are seated with him in heavenly places.
Yeah.
We are seated with him. The Hebraic concept of holiness is set apart, and that is we are a people set apart for God, even as God is set apart from all gods. Grace has embedded holiness into our lives.
That's great.
Yet we are to make right choices and to yield to Christ and God's word as the Holy Spirit lives in us. Holiness is not merely actions we perform, but what we absorb. Listen to this. I love this. What we absorb and manifest as we live our lives in God's presence. So when we get in the presence of the Lord, when we set our eyes on him, when we set our hearts for intimacy, to know him and to be known by him, by his grace, we absorb who he is. It's that we're becoming what we're beholding. Right? You will become what you behold. You will become what you behold. So if I would say anything, it would be careful what you're beholding.
Yeah.
Be careful that. It's not the get the case of the do betters. It's maybe change what you're beholding and start setting your eyes on Jesus and his grace and his mercy that's chasing you down. And say, Lord, I yield. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. I know that you're doing something far greater than anything I could ask or imagine. So I'm yielding, I'm surrendering, and I'm saying yes to you.
Amen.
We become what we behold. We will reproduce, multiply the DNA that heaven has placed inside of us. And that's the awesome thing, is just in your remembrance, in your remembrance of the encounters, of the things God has done in your life, you will start to recognize, oh, wow, the diamond I've been left holding. Did I walk through trials? Yes. Did I walk through hard things? Was it tried and tested my faith? Yes. But the diamond I'm left holding is Jesus. Right. And it is worth giving away.
That's right.
It is worth giving away. The world needs it now more than ever. And the awesome thing is you have a hope and a future. You have a hope inside of you that you can declare to the generations. You're not done yet. I don't care if you've been following the Lord for forever and a day. You have such gold inside of you. And that's one of the other things that we talk about is we don't want to call out the dirt in one another. We want to call out the gold inside of each other that has been tried, has been tested. You have gained authority. You have gained victory in areas. Now turn and give it away. And the awesome thing is those things, when we yield to the Lord, it's amazing how God will give you opportunities.
Yeah.
He will bring you divine connections. He will bring people across your path who are hurting, who are broken, who just need to know that there's a hope, that you've got some hope. And the cool thing is, if you've seen God move one inch, you've got something that you can give away. You really do.
That's good.
So let God prepare and heal your hearts and mind for action. Let Him give you a Holy Spirit detox. I'll encourage you. It's good. Say, Lord, I give you permission to detox my thoughts. Detox my mind.
Yes.
Remove everything inside that is not of you. Lord, remove the debris.
Yes.
Remove the debris. Make way for the King. Remove the debris of the past seasons. Right now, Lord, I just ask you that you would release healing, that you would release the healing balm of heaven over our hearts and minds. Lord, we're saying, Lord, we need you. We need you, Jesus. We need you.
We do, yeah.
And Lord, we're asking you to come and heal our hearts, wash our minds. Lord, remove the thoughts. Make us more aware of the things that the fears and the thoughts that are lies that we've been believing so that we can face that and allow your truth to come and set us free in those areas so that we can walk in more and more freedom.
Yeah.
That we can multiply the DNA of heaven as you embed your grace and your mercy inside of us as we yield to you, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
As we yield to you.
Yes.
So, are y'all ready to give God your yes?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to ask you is, are we giving God our yes?
Yes.
And Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord because it's just good. It's just good. And how we participate is with the Holy Spirit is saying, Lord, we just give you our yes. Do you want to give him your yes and set your eyes on Jesus, yielding to him? So if that's you, I just want to encourage you to stand up and just give God your yes afresh this morning. And if you've never known Jesus, if you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, today's a good day. It's a great day. You know, the thing I'm learning about God is that on His timeline, the moment that you turn to Him, it's like God's holy, those Kairos moments. When you turn to Him and you give Him your yes and you yield, those Kairos moments that you maybe feel like, I missed it, I messed up, I can't ever see those God alignments. No, when we turn and we say yes to the Lord, He brings, He restores, He brings to line those God Kairos moments that will absolutely change your life. So you haven't missed it. Today's a good day.
So, Lord, we give you our yes afresh, Lord. We surrender to you, Holy Spirit, because we know that anything that you're wanting to do, we cannot create it ourselves. We can't create fruitfulness. We can't create multiplication, Lord, in and of ourselves, Lord, but that we know that that you can, Lord. It's by your grace. And so, Lord, we're just saying we yield to you, Holy Spirit. We're setting our eyes and our focus upon you, Jesus. Lord, we desire more encounters. Lord, we desire to hear who you say we really are so that we can come into alignment with you, Jesus. Lord, if we've gotten off track, God, we're turning towards you right now. We're saying, Lord, get me back on track. Get me back on track. Divine alignment right now. Just get me in line with who you say I am, with the lane you've created, what you've purposed for my life. Lord, just get me in line with that. Lord, and we want to hear your voice. Lord, we want to hear you speaking. And Lord, I just bless everybody right now for your grace to multiply. Your grace to multiply. In Jesus' name, amen.